You're listening to The Art Show here on RN, and it's Arts News time with Alice Walker. Alice, an Indigenous artist, will be compensated for a copy of his work used in a show on Netflix. What's happening?
Back in March, you might have heard about a painting done in an Indigenous style that hangs in the lounge room of Ricky Gervais's character in the first series of Afterlife. It looked like the imagery of Western Desert artists from Papunya in the Northern Territory, but it came out it was actually a work painted by an English artist, Timna Woolard. The Indigenous Art Code said this amounted to cultural theft. The artist apologised and said when she painted it in the late 90s, she, quote, lacked a full understanding of the symbolism and meaning in Indigenous art forms, and she didn't know the image was going to be used in the show.
So, was it copied from a particular work?
Well, the Indigenous Art Code did some digging with the copyright agency and found it looks a lot like Papunya artist Walimpiri Japuljari's painting Tingari Dreaming, which is held by the National Gallery of Victoria. You can see a picture of it on the Art Show website, and there's a link there to an article with the copied painting, so you'll see how similar they are. So Gervais's company, Derek Productions, is going to compensate Japuljari for the use of the image in Season 1, and they've now got a licensed copy that has just been used in the filming of Season 2, which comes out next year, so you'll see that in the series instead. Copyright agency CEO Adam Suckling wouldn't confirm how much Derek Productions will pay.
Well, that is commercial in confidence, so I can't say. But I mean, I should say about them that once we approached them, they were very professional. They were very constructive. I think like lots of production companies around the world, they realise that, you know, it's important to respect the rights of artists, and it's important to ensure that there's a flow of money to artists when their work is used.
Well, artists absolutely should be paid for their work. Alice, mm-hmm. To acquisitions news now. The Art Gallery of New South Wales has just made a big purchase.
Yeah, we know it's a seven-figure purchase, so it's big, but we don't know how much exactly they paid for it. But it's for a commission painting by Japanese artist Takashi Murakami with a very long title. Are you ready, Ed?
Yes.
It's called Japan Supernatural Vertiginous. After staring at the empty world too intensely, I found myself trapped in the realm of lurking ghosts and monsters.
Great.
It's a big work too. It's 3 by 10 metres. It's the single biggest painting to come into the Art Gallery of New South Wales International Collection, and it will be unveiled in the gallery's Japan Supernatural exhibition that opens on the weekend in Sydney.
Now, Alice, since this is a public gallery, are we entitled to know how much they paid for it?
You know what, I'm not sure, but I believe that the money came from the gallery's foundation, so they've got a special sort of fund for these kind of things.
Oh, okay.
But at this stage, they're not revealing how much it cost.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we can find out. You can do the digging, Alice. You're great at that.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, thank you. And in Melbourne, La Trobe University has just got a new collection.
Yeah, so this is from Dr. Jeff Raby, who first moved to China in 1986 to work at the embassy, and later he was our ambassador to China. He's donated a $2 million collection of more than 170 paintings, photography, ceramic sculpture, textiles, and works on paper as well. It's the biggest cultural gift the university's ever received. So here's director of the La Trobe Art Institute, Sandra Bruce.
The artists and the works that Dr. Raby really focused on when he was first living in Beijing in the mid-80s coincided with the growth of contemporary art practice in Beijing at that time, which was really a direct response to the end of the Cultural Revolution. So we see a lot of burgeoning artists exploring new styles and finding ways to talk about their experiences and their society's experiences.
Sandra Bruce says there's some cataloguing and some research to do first, but she hopes the collection will be on display in the next couple of years.
All right. Now, finally, Alice, there's been a lot of talk of Brexit this week. Oh, gosh, the endless Brexit. But what people may not know is the way this is affecting galleries.
Yeah, so Brexit and whatever deal is or isn't reached could have big implications for the art market and also for borrowed works leaving and entering the UK. So there could be delays, there could be increased costs, extra licences and visas needed. But like a lot of things in the Brexit saga, it's all very uncertain. According to the Art newspaper, London's National Gallery made sure that its big Gauguin exhibition opened well before the Brexit deadline of October 31. But now that deadline's been extended to the end of January, the gallery could be in trouble again because the exhibition is set to close just 5 days before that. So getting the works out might be tricky, but the gallery told me it has no plans to change exhibition dates.
Oh gosh, it's endless. Maybe the deadline will move again. Alice, thank
maybe.
You so much. Yes, absolutely. Alice Walker there with Arts News.